listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, episode number 4, and I am DJ Chuang, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode of the Social Media Church, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. And on this episode, you'll hear from Mark Pion, a good friend of mine that I first met at an idea camp back in early 2009, and we've stayed connected in person offline as well as online. And he's in a medium-sized church context, medium as far as the American church sizes go, about 500 in worship attendance. I would like you to hear how his church is using social media in very practical ways that you don't need to have tons of resources to be using social media as a part of your church, and how you build relationships and how you stay in touch with the people that are part of your church. Before we turn to that conversation, it's amazing how much social media is shaping our world today, overturning governments and bringing things into the light, and the speed of the news is just faster than the news cycle can barely keep up. And so even though Twitter is about 5 years old now, we're just beginning to see churches incorporate more and more of social media into the life of their church. And so right now, it is still news. Just a few weeks ago, I'm looking at the Sun Centennial online, and there's another article about social media in the church titled "Praying in the Cloud, Churches Use Social Media to Get the Word Out." And so it seems to be still a novel idea for churches to be using social media, though its use is just going to increase over time. And here at Social Media Church Podcast, we'd like to capture some of those conversations, help you to hear the thinking behind different churches and different church leaders, how they're incorporating social media into the life of the church, whether it's sharing the word, building relationship, facilitating ministry, and all kinds of other ways to connect with people, because it is really about people, because church is really about people, and social media is really about being social. So there's a link to the article in the show notes, and you can also listen to previous episodes of Social Media Church at our website, socialmediachurch.net. And I'd love to hear from you. Add your voice in the comments on the blog, in the iTunes store, add a customer review. Connect with us on Twitter, Facebook, and chime in with a voicemail and call in to our listener line at 949-354-3216 and leave a message with your comments and questions, and I'll incorporate it into a future episode of Social Media Church. And as our listenership grows, our conversations here will grow deeper and wider to help the church at large. Now let me switch tracks so we can listen to my conversation with Mark Pion. DJ Chuang here, and I'm chatting with my good friend, Mark Pion. I wanted to introduce you to him because he has a vital role in his local church. So Mark, tell our listeners about who you are and what your role is at Christian Tabernacle.
So I'm here in Orange County as well. Church that I go to and am part of is Christian Tabernacle in Santa Ana, California. I'm serving as one of the lay pastors there, largely focusing on small groups. I am on the executive team, so there's three of us that are on the executive team that break up the core team for our church of about 550 members, and largely Hispanic church. We use social media heavily. Primarily, we use Facebook. To a lesser degree, we use Twitter. And we also use heavily Vimeo and SoundCloud.
Okay, so let's drill down on each one of those. So how is it that you use Facebook as a church, and how you foster relationships and community?
The way that we use Facebook as a church is each of the individual, like, say, core pastors, we gauge a lot of interest and maybe even some of the thoughts and kind of, I guess you would say, maybe prime the pump on some series that are coming up, or if any particular meetings are coming up. We post, there are some intentional posts that have to do concerning with the series that month or with a particular vision. And we throw it out to the Facebook community, who are not necessarily all our members, but we see some interaction there. And people, mm-hmm. sometimes they comment and they interact and they talk within the comment section, and we're able to gauge a lot of interest there. We also have a Facebook page too that's just directly Christian Tabernacle, where we have we've pretty much all of our leaders have administrative access to post and comment.
Okay, so the first part you mentioned, is that a group that's private to your church members?
No, actually, it's just it's open to anyone. So it's open to anyone that's connected to you as a friend, and or even subscribes to your post. And the reason we do that is because we want also others to interact. It kind of levels the playing field, because sometimes mm-hmm. Within our own congregation, we could talk a certain way and come up with our own language, but when it's kind of thrown out to friends that are non-believers, that are in different states, that are believers, and they start to interact and engage with the conversation, it gives us a good pulse.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So you're actively listening to the conversations that happen between friends that are part of your church. But how do you do that? Because Facebook is such a big place. If it's not all in one group or all in one page, what kind of tools are you using to do that?
So currently, you know, each of us actually use something different. So I use Hootsuite a lot, and I kind of keep the gauge with the newsfeed aspect of Hootsuite. Mm. And I also have lists that I use heavily on Facebook. So anytime I get new ads and they happen to be part of Christian Tabernacle or somehow connected, I put them in a particular list. And that's how
That is brilliant. So you're using the subscribe list.
Correct.
To follow the various people in your church. Mm-hmm. And then I guess your personal profile, you're keeping with your personal friends more so. And so by separating them into separate buckets, then you're able to track things a little better in an organized fashion.
Yeah. So and if I'm going into a meeting, sometimes when we're using Facebook, it's not the only thing that we use to listen. However, like when I'm going into the meeting, I just kind of click on that list and I could see the conversations that are happening among those people, what they're talking about, where they're at.
Yeah,
and that kind of gives us a good gauge of where, you know, people tend to be pretty open on Facebook. It doesn't even have to be about, mostly it's not about us, it's just about their lives. But when you see it in that stream, like a message emerges, a sense emerges. And that's where I literally look at the list and I say, God, what are you trying to tell me in this?
Yeah. Well, plus you're a spirit-filled church, so you get that extra insight compared to some of us who aren't. Talk a little bit about how you manage the multilingual aspect, because you mentioned Hispanic church, but you're a bilingual church.
Yeah, we are a bilingual church, so all of our gatherings are bilingual, and we put up our messages or even some of our trainings on SoundCloud and also on Vimeo, and it is a we've been bilingual for about 2 years now. You know, the first six months or so was a little difficult. So there is an art in being able to communicate the message without skipping a beat. Mm-hmm. And so it is pretty remarkable on how it's within the same step, within the same breath that the translation is happening. So it's not a pause, let the other person speak. It's right in step. If you would just remove one of the languages, you would not realize that the other person has been pausing all along. That's how.
Wow. Well, in the show notes, we'll link to one of those videos. So how does social media get incorporated into your live gatherings on your weekend worship?
So we use live stream. Oh. And we're also using the churchonline.org platform.
How's that working for you?
Yeah, so well, we're in the testing stages, but we have some current members that are out of the country, and we've had people log in from Vietnam, from Uganda, from different areas where we already have members that happen to be traveling out in those areas right now doing mission work, and they seem to connect really well. At times, we have difficulty with the Church Online platform where it works on live stream, but it, for some reason, the embedded code does not work.
Oh.
So that's about the only difficulty.
Still working out some technical issues.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and then once you get it up and running, I mean, how much resource and time are you looking to commit to this?
So currently we have a media team, and there is one designated individual within this media team of about 10 people.
Wow.
That dedicates himself just to the live stream of any event that we do.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's a big media team for a medium-sized church.
It's a lot of interns. We have the key individuals. We have two key leaders, and they are cycling pretty much each individual has a shadow or two shadow individuals with him at all times.
Yeah.
Wow. That's why it's such a big team. So the individuals might just be sitting there and not doing much, but they're kind of shadowing. And we one of the things from the media team is that they definitely believe in that shadowing concept, that you just have someone there all the time.
Yeah.
So it makes for a cramped space, but they're there.
That's amazing. That's great leadership development process, right, integrated with what you do as you do ministry. That's fantastic. That's a great lesson to learn for all of us. Any other social media channels that you're experimenting with or you've had to stop using because it just didn't work for you?
Yeah, so SoundCloud we use pretty heavily. And that is, we put the messages up or any type of recording that we do, we put it up within 24 hours, usually much sooner than that, but no later than 24 hours.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of interaction there. Then it gets reposted onto Facebook.
There you go.
And so that draws traffic. So
yeah,
there's people that subscribe to the SoundCloud, but most of the traffic comes from the Facebook post. Yeah. We're also experimenting with Fellowship One. Fellowship One is a kind of data service that we use, a church management software that we use. And as new individuals are connecting to the church, they're all going into this database, and we send out an email about a new series that comes out. So we're still using traditional email to have people connect.
Yeah. SoundCloud got a real boost, featured on Twit TV with Lou Laporte recently. And so really love what they're doing to create community around audio, and glad to hear that you're there actively using it. How much does Facebook engage your community? 50%, 75%? How many of your congregation is actively on there?
So I'm going to break that up like into two parts.
Okay.
We get, I would say, about 80% of our interaction with SoundCloud, Vimeo, and even our live stream events come from Facebook.
Sure.
Yeah. In terms of how many people within our congregation are on Facebook, I would say that you're looking at about 60% or so of the congregation is on Facebook. And that's, you know,
sizable.
Yeah, a largely Hispanic population. There's individuals that don't know how to run a computer, or don't even own a computer, but they're on Facebook because they have mobile phones.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, and they don't even speak English, you know, and they're on Facebook because they have a mobile phone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Facebook does come in Spanish, right?
Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
Okay. I only speak English, so I don't know all the other languages that Facebook covers. Yeah. And I think I've heard that Facebook is banned in China.
So. Yes.
as is Twitter now.
Wow.
Yeah. Not that I've ever been to China, but that's what I hear.
So if you go, you can't use Twitter. You're going to have to use something else.
Man, I'll feel so disconnected and disoriented.
You're going to have to pre-plan your posts.
There's something disingenuous about that.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of the new projects you're working on. I know you're active in social media personally.
Yes.
Tell us about PionX and your marriage expertise.
Yeah, so I'm an early adopter when it comes to a lot of social media and just a lot of things in tech in general. And so I used Twitter mainly, and more recently Facebook, created a Facebook page. But what I did is when I started a Twitter account, I was involved in some marriage and family research. Mm-hmm. And I decided to just kind of start aggregating some of that information and sharing it on Twitter. And I created a Twitter account uniquely named iMarriage and just started posting things. And I think I was like a year married. So what that did is that really garnered a lot of people talking about marriage and research, and I connected with individuals that allowed me to then meet live. My purpose was really to meet these individuals live. Yeah. And when they met me and they thought that, you know, this iMarriage individual must have a lot of resources because he is pointing to a lot of good research.
Yeah, amazing.
And in that, it helped me connect with individuals. I think it's like 7,000 or 8,000 followers currently on Twitter. But followers that really engage. So a lot of these I've met live. Also, I have my own personal account, Mark Pion, which is my name, but I have that as private.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, just I just don't want my posts just to appear on search engines.
Okay, yeah, that's one factor.
Yeah, that's mainly that's pretty much the main factor.
Okay.
Was for that.
Well, when you have a private Twitter account, that also means your tweets will not be archived in the Library of Congress.
Ooh, I did not know that.
Yeah, see, I don't know if that's going to tip the scale for you, but thought I'd throw that in there.
So since I have three Twitter accounts that I use actively, having one that's not archived, I think I can live with that.
Okay.
The other Twitter account that I have is PionX, which is my last name in the X, and that was, I started to get into a lot of the health and fitness research aspect of it and start to duplicate what I did with the marriage. Because that was so late in the game on Twitter, the follower, there's not many followers. However, there's interaction, that I would see is almost just as equal. And I draw people from there to Facebook. My Facebook like page for PionX is, it's hovering somewhere around 1,200 or 1,300 likes.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, and average. So I like the new insights of Facebook because it actually tells you what the average people talking about it. So it ranges, you know, anywhere from 400 to 700 individuals talking about it.
Yeah, and what are you hoping to do with PionX?
So PionX is just, it's created to, so I can earn the right to be a trusted voice in the health and fitness space.
Well, you know what? All you got to do is show your before and after photo.
Yeah, 88 pounds, right?
Yeah, you lost. Oh, wow. I thought it was in the 70s, but you lost 88 pounds by running through the PionX program and some extra things that you did on your diet and lifestyle. Amazing contrast.
Yeah, it's 88 pounds, and in a shift in my thinking as well, because I'm very research oriented, so I want to, you know, I want to know what the effects are, and I found out I've been convinced that weight loss or even changes in my body are not as reliant on just fitness and nutrition as they are on how I'm navigating through the other spaces in my life, the other spheres in my life, whether it's my spiritual life, whether it's my business, whether it's dreams that I want to follow, whether it's my relationship with my wife and my daughter, or my relationship with friends. As those conversations are hampered or conversations that I'm not having, I see the effect on my body.
Amazing.
So that's how PionX actually got. It came to life as I was searching for the X factor. I was saying, what is that X? What is that thing that tips the scale? Mm-hmm. What is that element that just you know, allows people to raise the standard and go for it. That just say, what's the point where people say, I've had enough, I'm not going to live lower than the lower standard than I deserve. And I found it's when you're able to address conversations in these other spheres, that skill bleeds over. And eventually it bleeds over to your fitness and your nutrition. You will not take it anymore. But if you're taking it from your wife and you're taking it from your work, you're taking it from your, you know, the place of worship you go, then you're going to take it in your own body. Your body's going to reflect.
How about that?
Reflect that. And that's my core belief, at least.
Well, you're onto something, and I look forward to hearing how that will develop on Pion X. Okay, a question that's passed along from our previous guest, Kenny Jang. He asks about social media and relationships. What do you gain and what do you lose when you use social media on building relationships?
I think that one of the things that you do gain is that you're able to get a kind of voyeuristic pulse. If you are aggregating the amount of posts, you can see what people are talking about if you organize it accordingly.
Yeah.
So if you have, say, five individuals that you're following because you're going to enter into some sort of business relationship, even spiritual relationship with these individuals. Say you have five people in your life group and you aggregate their posts in an instant, you can see what they're talking about, what they continue to talk about, and that allows you to kind of dig deeper. What you lose is that because you see what they're talking about, you don't actually ever address it. You don't ever talk to them about it. People assume that they know. Didn't you see my Facebook post? Didn't you see my Twitter post? Don't you know? And so there could be an assumption that because you put something out in the web sphere, or the interwebs, that everyone knows. I've seen some people sometimes rely on that as they've relied on email instead of a phone call. When the email, it's like, brilliant. You didn't get my email? No, yeah. You should have called me. And so now it's like, you didn't see my Facebook post?
Yeah.
You didn't see my Twitter update? And it's, so I think we lose some of that, we start leaving some of the communication pathways that worked before.
That's a great thought. That's a great insight. Thank you. And what is the question you would like to leave to one of our future guests?
I think that, you know, the question that I would like to ask is, how do you manage your time with these different with the different social media? How do you manage your time when you're engaging in social media, when you're integrated into your church, how do you manage time? Is it something really systematic, or is it full immersion and then you tail or back, or do you just kind of scale slowly?
All right. Well, thank you, my friend. Great chatting with you as always. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, thanks for the time, DJ.
And that was my conversation with Mark Pion. Check the show notes for the links and things that were mentioned during our conversation. And I'd love to hear how you are managing your time in using social media to connect with people in your church and outside your church. We don't have to wait till the next episode to hear some answers to Mark's great question, because that is practically the number one question that I hear time and time and time again about: how do you find the time to do social media and how do you manage it? Let me take a moment to check in with you about how I manage my time with social media. One of the basic principles is you make time for what's important. And just as social media is a level playing field for everyone, that anyone with a computer or anyone with access to a computer can use social media, all of us are on the level playing field because we just have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So what that means is a matter of priorities, how you choose to use your time and how much of it you're willing to give to social media. Now, for me, I'm constantly making adjustments in how I'm using social media and the time that I allocate for it. And I think at this point, all in all, I spend less than an hour a day on social media across all channels. To make time for social media, I cut back time spent on email. And I think you can all agree with me that we all spend way too much time on email. So one of the things I started doing a few months ago is to limit my email to just 3 times a day. So I'll spend maybe 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon, and 15 minutes at the end of the day, and limit my exposure to email. So it really is about finding time and making time and managing time by stopping some things that you were doing and starting some things in using social media to better develop your relationships, to communicate, and to stay connected with people that matter in your life. So add a comment at the Social Media Church blog or call in with your comments at 949-354-3216. I'd love to hear from you, and so would our other listeners. And that wraps up another episode of the Social Media Church podcast. Stay connected with us on socialmediachurch.net. Subscribe in iTunes or whatever your favorite podcatcher is. And until next week, we'll stay connected with you online.